Today is the 13th day of September. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be together, gathered here around the global campfire for another step forward on our journey. And our journey has led us, well, it's led us from Genesis all the way into the book of Isaiah here in the Old Testament. And we're well into it. It's a big book, so we got a ways to go. But today we will read chapters 12, 13, and 14. In that day, you will say, I will praise you, Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. A prophecy against Babylon that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw. Raise a banner on a bare hilltop. Shout to them, beckon to them to enter the gates of the nobles. I have commanded those I prepared for battle. I have summoned my warriors to carry out my wrath, those who rejoice in my triumph. Listen, a noise on the mountains, like that of a great multitude. Listen, an uproar among the kingdoms, like nations massing together. The Lord Almighty is mustering an army for war. They come from faraway lands, from the ends of the heavens, the Lord and the weapons of his wrath, to destroy the whole country. Wail, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come like destruction from the Almighty. Because of this, all hands will go limp. Every heart will melt with fear. Terror will seize them. Pain and anguish will grip them. They will writhe like a woman in labor. They will look aghast at each other, their faces aflame. See, the day of the Lord is coming, a cruel day with wrath and fierce anger to make the land desolate and destroy the sinners within it. The stars of heaven and their constellations will not show their light. The rising sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. I will punish the world for its evil, the wicked for their sins. I will put an end to the arrogance of the haughty and will humble the pride of the ruthless. I will make people scarcer than pure gold, more rare than the gold of Ophir. Therefore, I will make the heavens tremble and the earth will shake from its place at the wrath of the Lord Almighty in the day of his burning anger. Like a hunted gazelle, like a sheep without a shepherd, they will all return to their own people. They will flee to their native land. Whoever is captured will be thrust through. All who are caught will fall by the sword. Their infants will be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses will be looted and their wives violated. See, I will stir up against them the Medes, who do not care for silver and have no delight in gold. Their bows will strike down the young men. They will have no mercy on infants, nor will they look with compassion on children. Babylon, the jewel of kingdoms, the pride and glory of the Babylonians, will be overthrown by God like Sodom and Gomorrah. She will never be inhabited or lived in through all generations. There, no nomads will pitch their tents. There, no shepherds will rest their flocks. but desert creatures will lie there. Jackals will fill her houses. There the owls will dwell, and there the wild goats will leap about. Hyenas will inhabit her strongholds, jackals her luxurious palaces. Her time is at hand, and her days will not be prolonged. The Lord will have compassion on Jacob. Once again he will choose Israel and will settle them in their own land. Foreigners will join them and unite with the descendants of Jacob. Nations will take them and bring them to their own place, and Israel will take possession of the nations and make them male and female servants in the Lord's land. They will make captives of their captors and rule over their oppressors. On the day the Lord gives you relief from your suffering and turmoil and from the harsh labor forced on you, you will take up this taunt against the king of Babylon. How the oppressor has come to an end. How his fury has ended. The Lord has broken the rod of the wicked, the scepter of the rulers, which in anger struck down peoples with unceasing blows, and in fury subdued nations with relentless aggression. All the lands are at rest and at peace. They break into singing. Even the junipers and the cedars of Lebanon gloat over you and say, "Now that you have been laid low, no one comes to cut us down." The realm of the dead below is all astir to meet you at your coming. It rouses the spirits of the departed to greet you. All those who were leaders in the world, it makes them rise from their thrones. All those who were kings over the nations, they will all respond. They will say to you, "You also have become weak as we are. You have become like us. All your pomp has been brought down to the grave along with the noise of your harps. Maggots are spread out beneath you and worms cover you. How you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, 'I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High.' But you are brought down to the realm of the dead, to the depths of the pit. Those who see you stare at you. They ponder your fate. 'Is this the man who shook the earth and made kingdoms tremble? The man who made the world a wilderness? Who overthrew its cities and would not let his captives go home? All the kings of the nations lie in state, each in his own tomb. But you are cast out of your tomb like a rejected branch. You are covered with the slain, with those pierced by the sword, those who descend to the stones of the pit. Like a corpse trampled underfoot, you will not join them in burial, for you have destroyed your land and killed your people. Let the offspring of the wicked never be mentioned again. Prepare a place to slaughter his children for the sins of their ancestors. They are not to rise to inherit the land and cover the earth with their cities. I will rise up against them, declares the Lord Almighty. I will wipe out Babylon's name and survivors, her offspring and descendants, declares the Lord. I will turn her into a place for owls and into swampland. I will sweep her with the broom of destruction, declares the Lord Almighty. The Lord Almighty has sworn, surely, as I have planned, so it will be, and as I have purposed, so it will happen. I will crush the Assyrian in my land. On my mountains I will trample him down. His yoke will be taken from my people and his burden removed from their shoulders. This is the plan determined for the whole world. This is the hand stretched out over all nations. For the Lord Almighty has purposed, and who can thwart him? His hand is stretched out, and who can turn it back? This prophecy came in the year King Ahaz died. Do not rejoice, all you Philistines, that the rod that struck you is broken. From the root of that snake will spring up a viper. Its fruit will be a darting, venomous serpent. The poorest of the poor will find pasture, and the needy will lie down in safety. But your root I will destroy by famine. It will slay your survivors. Wail, you gate. Howl, you city. Melt away, all you Philistines. A cloud of smoke comes from the north, and there is not a straggler in its ranks. What answer shall be given to the envoys of that nation? The Lord has established Zion, and in her his afflicted people will find refuge. Second Corinthians 13. This will be my third visit to you. Every matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. I already gave you a warning when I was with you the second time. I now repeat it while absent. On my return, I will not spare those who sinned earlier or any of the others, since you are demanding proof that Christ is speaking through me. He is not weak in dealing with you, but is powerful among you. For to be sure, he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power. Likewise, we are weak in him, yet by God's power, we will live with him in our dealing with you. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. Now we pray to God that you will not do anything wrong. Not so that people will see that we have stood the test, but so that you will do what is right, even though we may seem to have failed. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. We are glad whenever we are weak, but you are strong. And our prayer is that you may be fully restored. This is why I write these things when I am absent, that when I come I may not have to be harsh in my use of authority. The authority the Lord gave me for building you up, not for tearing you down. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All God's people here send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Psalm 57. For the director of music, to the tune of Do Not Destroy, of David, a miktam, when he had fled from Saul into the cave. Have mercy on me, my God. Have mercy on me, for in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. I cry out to God Most High, to God who vindicates me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends forth his love and his faithfulness. I am in the midst of lions. I am forced to dwell among the ravenous beasts. Men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They spread a net for my feet. I was bowed down in distress. They dug a pit in my path, but they have fallen into it themselves. My heart, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Proverbs 23:9-11. Do not speak to fools, for they will scorn your prudent words. Do not move an ancient boundary stone or encroach on the fields of the fatherless, for their defender is strong. He will take up their case against you. Okay, so in today's reading, we concluded the letter to the Corinthians known as 2 Corinthians. And, I mean, it's not that long of a letter, so we've moved through it, and it would be hard not to notice that Paul spends a bunch of time in this letter defending himself. He'd been dealing with a bunch of different power grabs and mixed messaging in the church from outsiders and all kinds of people questioning whether or not he had authority. And according to Paul's way of thinking, they were essentially questioning him while inflating or boasting about themselves, bolstering their own pedigree, which then puts Paul in this weird situation where, I mean, it's like part of the human condition where it's like, okay, do we have to play this game? Is this really a game of comparison? Is this the only way you'll understand this? And so then Paul has to kind of reluctantly boast about his own trials in ministry. And he does that. He does that at length, but then he comes to this conclusion that if there really were something that anybody could boast in, especially Paul, it would be his own weaknesses and the strength of Christ that is within. I suppose it's not a stretch at all for us to understand that our Lord Jesus faced the same kind of scenarios, dealt with the same kinds of things. He was accused of being like an agent of the devil. He's often asked to prove that he had authority by performing a sign or a wonder. He was often questioned about who gave him the right, like, by whose authority are you doing these things? By whose authority are you saying these things? It's the same kind of stuff Paul was dealing with. And that gives us a chance to kind of think about our own lives. How would we respond if we were asked about who gave us the authority to say the things that we are saying and do the things that we are doing? Or if our commitment to the Savior were to be questioned, or would anybody even notice? Or would anybody even care? I mean, are our lives being transformed in visible ways that we can see, and we are in this process of ever growing and being sanctified? Or are we standing back and looking for the proof, the pedigree? Paul brings his letter to the Corinthians in for a landing and closes it by inviting the people, his readers, to reflect upon their own lives. And I quote from Paul, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you?" Unless, of course, you fail the test. Paul is inviting us to test whether Jesus is within us in a way that our existence has been changed. We have been fundamentally altered. We are going in a completely different direction. For Paul, this is necessary because we have been made new. Who we were was crucified with Christ, and we live in Christ. And that reality should be reflected in an ever-increasing way in our lives. Lots of people have lots of different persuasions and views of Paul, but to this very day, Paul was recognized as living what he believed. And his devotion to Jesus and his commitment to the gospel, I mean, that's memorialized in the New Testament. A great portion of the New Testament is written by this guy. He believed what he taught. He was loyal to what he believed all the way unto his execution. And what Paul tells us throughout his writings is that he has found that he must trust entirely in God for his physical needs and for his spiritual needs. And when he invites his readers to examine themselves, this is what we're talking about. Where does our hope lie? Are we being transformed by ever-increasing faith and trust and reliance and loyalty to Jesus? Let's give it some thought today. And Jesus, we invite you into that. There is no question about your loyalty to us. That's the thing. Like, you loved us unto death. And you love us into life. And you will love us forever. It's not you. It's us. And we are invited to examine ourselves today. And so come, Holy Spirit, and bring the light of truth into the dark recesses of our hearts. We open ourselves to you. This is a time where the basement is open. The attic is open. The closets are open. Come, Holy Spirit, and lead us into all truth, and lead us into Jesus more deeply, we ask in his name. Amen.
Good morning, DAB. This is House of Joy Cafe from Lake of the Ozarks, Missouri. How often I want to call, and I'm just not able to record without losing it. So I wrote it down. I'm able to bring this request to you now. On Tuesday, August 29th, our brother, sister-in-law, and disabled kids came to take us on a boat ride. On the way home, both kids went to sleep on the boat. Their daughter woke up ringing her bell purse. We were almost home. And their son woke up at our dock in the arms of Jesus Christ. Please pray for our family, specifically Dad, Craig, is his name, Mom, Mary, and Sister Megan. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Chelsea from Oregon. I had called in a couple weeks ago asking for prayers of strength in regards to having my son. I had previously had miscarriages in the past, and getting down to the wire of delivering my baby was starting to get me nervous. So I had called in asking for prayers of strength and peace, and I just wanted to let you know that on September 1st, my son, Parker James Davis, was born into the world rapidly and intensely, but he's here and he's so amazing, and I feel so blessed, and I feel so humbly grateful for everyone that said a prayer in regards to my needs and my family. As the time went, waiting for this little guy to be born, it was such a special treat to listen to the Daily Audio Bible episodes and listen to the prayers of others. And while I was praying for other people that needed help, listening in to somebody that took the time to pray for me, it literally helped me just push through on until God decided it was time for him to make his entrance. And man, it really helped. And I just want to say thank you so much, because it means a lot to have somebody care that you don't even know. So I just wanted to say thank you. And I'm so grateful as I'm recording this. I'm holding my little baby and it's so amazing. So thank you so much. And my heart will be going out to anyone else in prayer, because it helped me so much. So thank you again. Bye.
Hello, DAB community. It's Morning Lift. Reaching out to say thank you all for your prayers. I really appreciate your continued prayers for me and my wife and my kids and the reconciliation of our marriage. You all know that I went to court last month on the 29th of August and had a good legal result, but I fear the relational damage that's been done by this court hearing is just significant. My attorney told me during that day that she had no concern for my reconciliation, that her only concern was the legal matters at hand. And then she proceeded to cross-examine my wife in a way that just destroyed her on the stand and made her cry. And it was the hardest thing for me to watch. I don't ever want to see that again. I don't ever want to walk through that again. As a result, I've decided to retain new legal counsel. And my new attorney's recommendation is to send a letter to my wife and my wife's attorney asking for a ceasefire, asking to take some time and go to marriage counseling. And I'm praying, Lord, that my wife's heart would be softened and that she would be agreeable to this idea. And I ask, family, that you would join me in prayer for my wife, that she would agree to this pause on the legal pursuit and a return to counseling to see if we can process through our conflict and issues. There's just been so much conflict and strife, and it's just so hard. And I ask that you would bless us, God, that you would reunify us, that you would at least help us to be more agreeable and work together better as co-parents. I lift this up in the name of Jesus Christ, and I pray that your will would be done, God, in my life, in my family, in my marriage. In Jesus' name.
Hey, family. It's Searching for Beauty. I actually don't know the date. September 10th today. I just wanted to give you a bit of an update. I had round 4 of my targeted treatment for stage 4 cancer, and the blood work they did the day before, so showing the results of 3 rounds of treatment, now has my bone and liver metastasis marker, blood marker, at high normal ranges. So I don't know exactly what that means, but I know it's good. I think it means that the cancer isn't actively spreading and these treatments are working. I have a CT scan for tomorrow, which is the 11th, and I guess we'll know more after that. I'm feeling pretty good. It's been a bit of a wild ride the last couple of weeks. My older daughter got herself involved in a very dangerous lifestyle, and I had to find her another place to live while having my younger one stay somewhere else until we could do that. A lot of moving parts in that. Finding a place. She needs to still find work where she's living now, and I'm hoping to stay in touch with her frequently. If you could please just keep her in your prayers, and my younger one at home here, we're still probably in an element of danger, but we know that God is protecting us. I thank you so much for all of your prayers. I do pray for all of you, especially right now, Lisa, Philippians 4, and Danny from Oregon. God bless y'all. Bye-bye.